So do you think that there should be a limit on the amount of urban development in big cities like Sydney, obviously? You know, the population isn't going to be shrinking anytime soon.
No, I don't think the solution is necessarily just to restrict development. I think there's a lot of developers that operate quite effectively in the heritage space, you know, which we're talking about this morning. But unfortunately, some of them just seem to think taking shortcuts like what appears to have happened in this development is good business practice. And I think we really need to be much more serious about penalising developers who act in that way.
And so here in Sydney, we do have a lot of green and open areas. It's really lovely. But do you think that there's a possibility the need for them could get lost if we keep building more and more residential towers?
I think we've got to think really hard about where we put residential towers. I think some parts of Sydney, it just looks too much like open slather. I think we've got to work at being smarter about where we put places. But when we look at a lot of the big cities in the world, they've managed to basically do both things, to provide some good spaces, including green spaces, and put lots of development so there's places for their growing population to live.
Now, the Hensley Hall building, it's down in Potts Point. This is, I guess, the trigger that sparked the discussion this morning. It's been demolished for property business. Is this the first sort of situation like this that has happened? Or?
Look, unfortunately, this is a sorry tale. It's been repeated many times in Sydney and other cities in Australia, where just mysteriously heritage items get knocked down. The developer blames the builder blames the contractor. You know, the contractor blames the individual workman, but it does look pretty suspicious when you see heritage items are removed. Obviously, it's very difficult to replace them. And I just think the incentives are in the wrong direction for developers who are a lot of times happy to copy what probably would be a reasonably small fine and continue this behaviour. Like one of the ways I think councils have dealt with people chopping trees down is that it might be an important lesson here. If you look in parts of Sydney where trees have suddenly died through poisoning, councils erect a very large sign where the tree used to be, saying there's large fines for penalising people who poison trees. So in that case, it's a strong signal to say illegal behaviour won't actually help you, and in fact, you'd be looking at a crappy sign rather than a tree. So I think we just need to provide some very strong measures to deter this sort of behaviour if indeed in this case the developer knew what was going on and that the heritage has been removed as a way of improving profits for the development.
And so I guess winding back a step further, you know, how does the government actually decide what is a historical or a heritage site worthy of being preserved?
Well, there's pretty well-established processes for that. Both the local government and the state government have got heritage processes where items are nominated. There's a process of collecting evidence about the item, and then a decision is made whether they warrant preservation. So I think that process is probably working reasonably well. The problem is on the enforcement side when you have situations like this where heritage items are removed without permission.
And just before I do let you go, Peter, I mean, is there any special consideration for people who've had, their lives or their businesses uprooted, or, I mean, at the end of the day, I guess maybe just get upset by these kinds of developments? I mean, given Sydney prices, it can't be as easy as just going somewhere else and finding somewhere new to set up shop.
Yeah, certainly it's been a ongoing problem for businesses with new development. A lot of times people expect their business to remain in one place for a long time, and we've seen lots of developments recently where people have had to move on. I think to some extent it's a risk of doing business, but I think it's an important principle that where businesses are affected, there's an ability for them to seek some compensation through the development process to make sure they're not put out too much by the changes.
Well, it's definitely one we'll keep an eye on. Peter, thank you so much for joining us this morning.
No. Thanks for raising the issue. It's really good to talk about these important heritage and planning issues on public radio.